This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Robert Mays joins us, NFL writer for The Athletic, host of The Athletic Football Show, and always great to have him with us. Hi, Robert. How are you?
Hey, Robert.
All right, guys. I'm starting to feel the crush of the season potentially beginning here, which is a combination of being nervous and being excited, which is always nice.
The crush here in Cleveland is, oh, wait a minute, that's Baker Mayfield wearing number 6 for the Carolina Panthers. I'm thrilled they're going up against Baker and Carolina in the opener because you're not going up against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs or, you know, Justin Herbert and the Chargers. You're going up against a team, Robert, that on paper you should handle pretty easily if you think you're a playoff team. Agreed or not?
I don't agree. I think the Panthers are fine. I don't think the Panthers are good, but I think that, you know, the current version of the Browns with Jacoby Brissett, I don't know if they should handle this Carolina team easily. The Panthers have a defined ceiling with Baker Mayfield and with the way they've built this team. But I think they'll be competitive week in and week out. You know, if they win 8-9 games, it wouldn't be shocking to me. So I think the Browns right now with, you know, questions about Jack Conklin's health and with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, I think they absolutely can win this game, but I'm not sure that they're a resounding favorite to beat up on the Panthers this week.
It's funny, when I look at this game, I keep thinking about the clip from the movie Moneyball where they're telling Dave Justice that the Yankees were paying him not to play for them. And I keep thinking about Baker Mayfield in that same scenario where his motivation has got to be, you know, these guys didn't want you bad enough that they knew they were going to take a quarterback that wasn't going to be able to play in the beginning of the season. I'm just curious your thoughts on Baker this week and just what do you think might be going through his mind?
I'm sure there's a lot of that. I mean, yeah. We heard what he said to Cynthia Freeland on the sideline a couple weeks ago, and I don't blame him for that. That's probably how I would feel if I were Baker Mayfield. But in Baker's case, you know, I don't want to psychoanalyze him. I don't know Baker Mayfield. But I would assume if you're a Browns fan, you kind of want him to be a little bit geeked up for this game. I mean, he's the type of guy that sometimes that emotion can play a negative effect in the way that Baker approaches stuff and the way that he plays. So if he's overly concerned with all of that, I think that actually might work in your favor if you're a Browns fan.
Robert, you mentioned Jacoby Brissett a little while ago. Should the Browns be sold that he is their starting quarterback, or should he be on, you know, kind of a short leash here and the Browns should be willing to go to Josh Dobbs or maybe Josh Rosen if things aren't working out, knowing you have 11 games without Deshaun Watson?
I think that they're pretty set with Jacoby Brissett as their starting quarterback in the short term. And you look at what Jacoby has done in the last few times he got a chance to be the starter, and it's not great. You know what Jacoby Brissett is at this point, but when he was the quarterback of the Colts a couple of years ago, and, you know, I would make that comparison to what the Browns have right now when the offensive line hopefully gets back healthy, where you've got a really strong infrastructure with running the ball, play action, you know, your protection up front. And he was fine. You know, he was a middle-of-the-road quarterback. You know, you sit in that maybe bottom third of the league. You're the 23rd best quarterback in football. You're the 23rd most efficient passing offense. And when you combine that with hopefully what the Browns will be able to do on the ground, I think that in the short term, it's a more than tolerable solution to the problem that they face.
I would say there's a good portion of us that believe that the Browns are going to win, especially early on, that the defense is going to have to carry them. When you look at the Browns defense, you know, what are your thoughts on what they have, especially when you got a guy like Myles Garrett out there?
I'm very excited about it. I mean, I think that their back seven is one of my favorite position groups in the entire league. And the way that I'm thinking about that is it's third and seven you know, you have JOK out there, and then you have the six DBs out there. You got the three safeties, three corners, whatever the three corners may end up looking like, even if they get hurt a little bit. I think it's a deep group. I think that it's a group that is one more year experienced. Guys like Grant Delpit, who was hurt early in his career, Greg Newsom stepping into year two. And I think that that continuity that that entire group has, the fact that pretty much all of them are coming back this year rather than turning over so much of that position group last season, is a real boon for them. So to me, the biggest question about the Browns defense is, are the guys up front, especially against the run, good enough to make the back end worth it? You know, this team, I think, was 21st or 22nd in run defensive success rate last year, and their middle of their defense isn't any better than it was last season. You know, you have guys like Taven Bryan, Perry and Winfrey, unproven guys. If they can hold up against the run and get teams to third and six, third and seven, and allow that back seven to shine, I think they're going to be really, really good. But the interior of the defensive line is pretty much the only group that I have questions about. And then just depth at the edge spot. You know, I'll be beyond Miles Garrett, beyond Devin Clowney, who has struggled to stay healthy in his career, what do they have? But overall, I think I'm more optimistic and bullish on the Browns defense as a whole than most people are.
Robert May is joining us. He's the host of the Athletic Football Show, NFL writer for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Robert Mays, exactly the way it's spelled, M-A-Y-S for the last name. You mentioned the defensive tackles. That's been an issue here, Robert, that everybody's been looking at. We've also been looking at the wide receivers. Do the Browns have enough talent? Do they have enough depth at wide receiver to give Jacoby Brissett the opportunities that he may need and give the running game enough of a complement that people aren't going to stack the line against them like crazy?
You'd hope so. I mean, it's obviously a weakness when you look at the other teams around the league, but I assume this team is going to live in heavier personnel. You know, they're going to want to have Harrison Bryant and David Njoku on the field pretty often, that they weren't shy about living in that world when they had the three tight ends. And I have to assume that we're going to see a similar approach this year. This isn't going to be, you know, an 11 personnel, three wide receiver team like the Rams or the Bengals. And having a bunch of guys at that spot matters a little less when you're living this way. So I think they may have enough to cobble it together. And what that looks like, I think, is a question. You know, can Donovan Peoples-Jones take a small step forward? You know, if you're living in more wide open sets, David Bell and Anthony Schwartz, they filled kind of different roles in the slot. What can you do with that? It's not great, but I think with the way this team is constructed, they can more than get by with the players that they have.
Robert, just knowing your Chicago background a little bit, I'm just curious your thoughts on Mitch Trubisky, who's from Cleveland, getting the starting, at least he's getting the starting job today from Pittsburgh. And, you know, just that path that he's taken to not only be the starting quarterback for the Steelers week one, but to wear a C on his jersey as well.
I mean, I think Mitch was always a well-liked guy. I don't think it was a matter of that. And I think that Buffalo, when they went to get him, I think that's a sign that they wanted somebody like that in their locker room. I think they're pretty conscious about that stuff. I don't know how long he'll be the starting quarterback there. You know, I think that you see teams do this. You see teams do this with head coaches all the time. I think the Steelers did it with the quarterback situation. They went as far away from Ben Roethlisberger as they could with somebody like Mitchell Trubisky, where his best attribute is the way that he moves around and the way that you can use him on some under center play action stuff, and the ability to kind of create on the move. And that's what he gives them. You know, he gives them a way to, I don't know, just be weird at that position compared to what they had last year. But I don't know what kind of shelf life that has. You know, I think the only reason Kenny Pickett isn't starting right away is that they don't think that Kenny Pickett right now gives them the best chance to win. A lot of teams around the league, if you picked a guy in the first round and it was moderately close, you would trot out the guy that you picked in the first round, because what you needed to do is maximize and prioritize his development. In Pittsburgh, I think they want to be able to send a message to the building in the locker room that we're going to put the best team out there no matter what every single week. I don't know how much longer that's going to be a team with Mitchell Trubisky instead of Kenny Pickett. They have a mini bye heading into week four, I want to say. They play the Browns on a Thursday night. I wouldn't be surprised at all if after that game, Kenny Pickett was the starting quarterback for the Steelers.
What if Trubisky goes out and plays well and the Steelers win? Do they rock
the boat? I think that bar is pretty high. Okay. And I don't know how well he's going to play. You know, Mitchell Trubisky is fine. As a stopgap quarterback, I think he's absolutely fine. I always try to follow the money when it comes to stuff like this. And if you look at the contract that Mitchell Trubisky got from the Steelers, it's a contract for a backup quarterback. I mean, it is not the money that you give somebody you think is going to be a long-term starter. And I think that he's keeping the seat warm for a guy that they spent a first-round pick on this season. This isn't a situation like Jimmy Garoppolo last year or Alex Smith with the Chiefs a couple of years ago, where the guy that you have as the incumbent is the incumbent of a playoff-caliber offense. The Chiefs finished fourth in offensive DVOA the last year that Alex Smith was the quarterback there. The Niners were a top-five offense last year with Jimmy Garoppolo. The Steelers are not that with Mitchell Trubisky. It's not like they have this offensive machine that needs one more upgrade for them to be a Super Bowl contender. This is a bad offense last year. I assume it'll be a below-average offense with Mitchell Trubisky this year. So I just don't think it's that similar to other guys who had to spend a lot of time on the bench, because I don't think their ceiling or even their level with Mitchell Trubisky is high enough to warrant keeping Kenny Pickett on the bench for that long.
Robert May is joining us from The Athletic. Let's stay in the division here. To Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, quarterback, no contract. He says he's shutting down contract talks once the season starts. Robert, how does that play out?
It's a weird situation just because we don't see it that often. But I think on both sides, there probably isn't that much fear of the downside of what happens from here, right? I'm sure the Ravens are willing to give Lamar a pretty huge contract. So if he plays well this year, how much bigger can the contract get? I have to assume that there's some sort of friction and disagreement about whether the Deshaun Watson contract should be taken as precedent in these situations. The deal that Kyler Murray took, the deal that Russell Wilson took, is an indication that other teams aren't treating that as real precedent for how quarterback contracts should be handled. So we'll see how that ultimately plays out on the team side. I assume they're sitting there thinking, we can franchise him twice if we need to. We have a lot of leverage in this. We don't need to get this done if he wants to step outside of what we consider the norm for quarterback contracts as a whole. On the Lamar side, we've seen recently there just isn't much downside for these guys if you're a real quarterback. You know, Dak came into a season as a lame duck quarterback, broke his leg, and then got a top-of-the-market extension. There aren't that many outcomes here for Lamar Jackson where he isn't going to get everything that he wants out of this entire process. And for the most part, when we've seen guys who are willing to kind of push this thing to the limit, guys who've been willing to be franchised, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, it turns out just fine for them. You know, Kirk Cousins got a fully guaranteed contract for the Vikings because he was willing to play out the string in Washington. Dak did just fine. We're willing to kind of push the Cowboys to something like this. When you're a top 10 quarterback, one of the elite quarterbacks in the league, arguably, there is a very limited chance that this thing is going to go south for you if you're willing to exercise every bit of leverage that you have. And I think the team is probably thinking the same thing because they have a couple years of control over him. So it's a weird situation, but I think it turns out for both sides.
Robert, let's talk about one more team in the AFC Central. Or AFC North. God, am I old.
I do that all the time. Don't worry about it. Black and blue division where I'm from, man.
Exactly. It makes me feel better. Can Cincinnati repeat in the AFC? There are big question marks about that offensive line, and they're going to be able to keep Burrow healthy all season. What are your thoughts?
I think their offensive line is much, much better than it was a year ago. You know, and they don't have star players there. Guys like Ted Karras and Alex Kappa aren't stars, but they had some of the worst offensive linemen in the league that they were trotting out there every single week. The fact that Isaiah Prince is no longer going to have to play big snaps for them, and it's Lyle Collins instead, it's hard to overstate how much stuff like that matters. The big questions for me about Cincinnati, I think, are twofold. One, are as teams start to play them a slightly different way, like they did during the back half of last season, taking away big plays, playing more too high on defense, really making them earn it, and not allowing Joe Burrow to kind of take those shots down the sideline and have that be the best part of their offense, what does Cincinnati look like? I have faith in Joe Burrow to be able to do that as teams stop blitzing them, as teams say, we're going to make you earn this over 10, 12 play drives. I think they'll run the ball better and allow that to happen. And I think that the guys that they have, they'll be able to figure that out. They were really explosive last year, but they weren't efficient. So as teams make them kind of earn it and be more efficient, what does that ultimately look like? And then on defense, you know, they didn't do much defensively this offseason. They went out and drafted Daxon Hill in the first round. I love him. I think that what he allows them to be on the back end with some of the three safety looks they can do are really interesting. But other than that, it's the same crew. And I like this defense and what they did in the playoffs. I think that having a veteran, smart group back there, you saw just how flexible they were even within games and the game plans that they could kind of unleash. But this is a team that I think finished 17th in Football Outsiders DVOA on defense last season, which is middle of the road. You know, kind of saying we want to roll with the same group that was just barely an above average defense last year, and we didn't really need to make any big improvements at those spots. It's a big bet. So I think the Bengals are going to be good again, but I don't think they necessarily did everything they needed to stave off a little bit of regression that's probably coming for them this year. If they won 10 games and they were a playoff team, that's fine, but I still think they're a slight step down from the best teams in the AFC.
Robert, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Absolutely, guys.
Robert Mays, NFL writer for The Athletic. He is the host of The Athletic Football Show. You can follow Robert on Twitter at Robert Mays.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.